This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shemuel Aleph, chapter 12. In this chapter, Shemuel again presents the newly selected King Shaul to his subjects. In so doing, Shemuel is essentially retiring from his career as undisputed leader of the Jewish people. Shemuel remarks on his own advanced age and encourages the citizens of Israel to speak up if he has ever mistreated or taken advantage of them in any way at all. They unanimously declare that he has never oppressed them, nor has he utilized his position of authority for any personal or material gain. Shemuel then recounts the history of Hashem's salvation of the people of Israel, beginning with their sojourn in Egypt, the careers of Moshe and Aharon, through the era of the judges, which is right now reaching its conclusion as we transition from the period of the judges to the period of the kings. He emphasizes that Hashem's protection and support of the nation has always been dependent upon one fundamental factor, which is whether or not the Jews were committed to the observance of Torah, whether they rejected idolatry. When they deviated from the covenant, Hashem abandoned them to the persecutions of their enemies. When they returned to the proper path, Hashem made sure that the appropriate leaders arose and liberated them. Despite this clear historical pattern, Shemuel observes that the recent conflict with Ammon in particular had finally pushed the Jews to their breaking point and moved them to demand a king. While Hashem has honored the request of his nation and chosen a fitting monarch for them, they must remain cognizant of the fact that their success and failure will continue to depend not on the strength of any human king, but on the quality of their relationship with Hashem. Shemuel warns the people that Hashem will now show his disapproval of the movement to establish a monarchy by bringing heavy rain in the midst of the typically dry harvest season. Of course, this rain could possibly destroy the crops in the fields. The clouds quickly appear, and the nation acknowledges its wrongdoing in the eyes of God. Frightened of the consequences of rainfall for their food supply and livelihood, they appeal to Shemuel to pray to Hashem to stop the storm. Shemuel does so, but not without reminding them once again of the lesson they have learned, that Hashem, not Shaul, will determine their destiny in the long run. One question we can raise about this chapter is what Shemuel's motive was in asking the people or encouraging the people to acknowledge that he had never mistreated them or been unfair to them. Why does he mention it here? How is this relevant to his message? So it seems like he's contrasting the style of prophetic leadership with the style of kingly leadership that he had described a couple of chapters ago. The king has a lot of authority. He can tax the people. He can and will make use of his power to enrich himself and his family. The benefits that the king reaps from his position may be legal, but they impose unnecessary financial and physical hardships on the subjects. Shemuel wants the community to declare and thereby remember that he did not conduct himself in the manner of a king during his tenure. This way they will perceive the difference between what they are seeking and what they're losing in this shift from prophet or judge to king. So Shemuel in that way is emphasizing how much he isn't a king over the people. The challenge of Shemuel to the people is reminiscent of the statement of Moshe Rabbeinu to Hashem during the rebellion of Korach. Moshe had said to Hashem, "Not one donkey did I take from them, nor did I commit any evil against them." Here Shemuel, the descendant of Korach, is paraphrasing the words that Moshe used when confronted with the uprising against his authority. There, Moshe Rabbeinu was perceived by the rebels as a sort of self-appointed king rather than a religious leader. And he was being accused of political overreach in making himself king. So he responds to the accusations by saying, "Listen, I was honest, I had integrity, I dealt with everyone fairly, I never placed myself above them." Here, Shemuel, the religious leader, is being rejected, actually, in favor of a political figurehead and king, who is going to seize and confiscate as much property as he wants. There's some element of irony here, but it's underscored by the use of this phrase that links our story to the story of Korach. Here, the descendant of Korach is being rejected. There, it was Korach doing the rejecting. There, it was a religious issue at hand. They saw Moshe as trying to be a king when he was supposed to be a religious authority. Here, they don't want the religious authority. They're interested in substituting with a political authority. Now, the sign of the rainfall during the harvest proves Shemuel's point. Ultimately, the environment and the weather are in the hands of Hashem. That's why Hashem chose this sign and not any other sign to make the point here. Because weather is in the hands of God, He will therefore determine the prosperity of any given year. This, in turn, means that the essential factors impacting the economic welfare of the Jewish people are beyond the control of any human being, including the king. The book of Kohelet, Ecclesiastes, observes that the king is enslaved to the land. In other words, ultimately, no matter how powerful the king, he's dependent upon the economy and the agriculture. The story of the Exodus teaches us that even the mighty Paro was brought to his knees by the decimation of crops and the plague of hail. This story is certainly reminiscent of that iconic narrative. The people, fearing the total destruction of their food supply in a plague, show remorse for their sins, and Shmuel, like Moshe in the story of the Exodus, accedes to the request that he pray for the removal of the existential threat. This experience reminds the people of the fundamental principle they were taught in the Exodus, that all human power, no matter how impressive, is an illusion. True salvation is found only from Hashem, and our point of connection to Hashem will always be through the Torah and through the teachers and the Levi'im and the prophets who represent his will and his wisdom, who teach us his ways. So this is once again, an emphasis of the compromise being made here. The providing a king for the people doesn't mean that the fundamental system and formula of relationship between the Jewish people and God is going to be changed in any way.